Well, things are tough out on the streets these days. More and more people are carrying guns for personal protection. Of course, there are a lot of responsibilities and laws that go with that. A local woman from Yelm may be facing some prison time for something that she says was purely in self-defense. Her name is Ann Gellenbeck, and she joins us here on the Dory Monson Show, along with her attorney, Kelly Seago. Ladies, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Dory.
And you told me in the email you sent me, you're a 56-year-old nurse, you have a concealed carry permit, you have never been in trouble with the law, and now you're facing the possibility of prison time. So tell me what happened on this evening last year when you were taking your dogs for a walk.
So on April 20th of 2020, it was a Monday, I had worked that day, and I my husband was out of town, out of the state for a couple weeks, and I have three dogs that I walk every day, and I walk different places, but I walk every day. And when I left, I have a concealed carry, and so lots of times I walk up in the Bald Hills, and so I take my weapon with me, a weapon that I've had since 1986. I have a permit to carry that weapon, and I've taken classes regarding handgun classes, so I'm quite trained, and I do practice shooting my gun. It's a snub-nose 38 special.
Okay.
With a shroud hammer, so it's a very small gun. The barrel is like 1 7/8 inch long.
Okay.
Very small gun, and I carry it in a belly band when I walk. So when I left the house, I was.
Let me try to condense this a bit from what you were telling me. So you encountered a neighbor that evening, and this is a guy that there has been a long running feud between you and this neighbor. You say he's called the police 78 times in the last couple of years, and this is a property line dispute, is that right?
It's a property line dispute. He has put construction on his property without obtaining the proper permits. He built a garage too close to the property line. He landscaped our property. Just did not agree with where the property lines actually are. So as a result of that, he's filed an adverse possession lawsuit to take a section of our property. And he's in violation, many violations with Thurston County ongoing.
And also what's happened with the Ms. Gellenbeck and this neighbor on her property line is he's amped it up by making these 911 calls for ridiculous things like that they had noise complaints, that they were putting cameras on his property and looking in his bedroom. These were all things he called emergency services and had police come out the 78 times. They'd come out every single time, but he dealt with a number of officers and really pushed and pushed and pushed to the level that he began some violent behavior and some lewd behavior of exposing himself, of throwing a bucket, of damaging property by putting sprinklers on it. This is where Ms. Gellenbeck was when she ended up running into him trying to go and walk her dogs that day.
Well, as her attorney, Kelly, why isn't this just a cut and dried civil dispute over a property line? Because there's not a lot of subjectivity. If it's been surveyed and if the property has been calibrated correctly, why isn't this just a cut and dry issue?
Well, it should have been. It should have been something that was being handled through the county, and it has been being handled through the county. There have been finally examinations of what he's done. What happened was that this individual did not get the proper permits. He didn't go through things properly. And so when Ms. Gellenbeck started trying to use her right to call the county and say, this person's doing these things, can somebody come check this out? Things really amped up. That's when the 911 calls increased. And
got it. All right. So that's kind of the background. So, and on the evening in question last year, What happened that led to you drawing your gun on him?
Well, I never drew my gun.
Okay.
I never drew my gun. So I told him I had a gun. So I went to walk my dog. I go to get out of my car. I get out of the driver's, go back to the back door and go to get my dog. I did not have a chance to put my gun in the locked box that I keep underneath my passenger seat. Mm-hmm. When a man started yelling, and I don't want to be foul on the radio, but he extremely foul language. And I looked up and here was my neighbor.
Okay.
Who is 320 pounds, 6'3". He starts yelling at me. One of my dogs jumps out of my car. He's a puppy. My other two dogs, I got on a leash. This man came around at me, calling me names. I called him names. He called me names. He came around at me. He started kicking my dog, my beautiful purebred Boykin Spaniel, who is a canine good citizen. He starts kicking my dog. I told him, get back. I have a gun.
Okay, now he claims that he feared your dog was going to bite him. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if your dog went into a defense mode to protect you if there's a lot of screaming going on. He says he pushed the dog away with his foot. I'm guessing you don't agree with that characterization of this.
Well, my dog was on a leash, and he was kicking my dog.
He wasn't pushing it away with his foot, as
he
said.
He kicked the dog. He kicked the dog.
Seeing this in the Olympian newspaper, he says that you then removed your gun from your waistband and pointed it at him, first 12 feet apart, then 3 feet apart. Both you and the man called 911. You told me a moment ago you did not ever draw your gun on him. Are you telling me you don't?
I never removed my gun from its holster, and I was holding two dogs. I had two flexi leashes in my right hand, and I was holding my puppy in my left hand.
Okay. Police came as they were interviewing both of you. You said you told them you were armed. You denied removing the gun. You have the concealed carry permit. And he says that you produced a weapon and you looked down the barrel of a really big gun. What kind of gun is this?
It's a snub-nosed 38 with a 1 7/8-inch barrel. It's the smallest revolver that Smith & Wesson makes with a shrouded hammer.
So given all of this, Kelly, I mean, it's a long-running dispute. Why is Ann looking at the possibility of prison time here?
Well, the short answer is she was convicted of assault 2. The assault 2 described by the prosecutor as she never intended to shoot anybody or do anything, but she pointed the gun to scare him. And the prosecutor decided to charge her with a deadly weapon enhancement. This is something that is not regularly done, certainly not on somebody with no background. This is prosecutorial discretion to be able to file this. And the current law is that is a 3-year mandatory consecutive sentence over any sentence that she would get on the assault two charge. Why they went forward with this is shocking to me. I've been practicing criminal law for 25 years. I just don't understand why this honestly wasn't something that that the prosecutor's office tried to delve into further. They took this neighbor's word for it, even though there's clear evidence that he made all these 911 calls. That nothing came up, so there must not have been anything there. I just don't understand. I come from Chicago. We say, what kind of juice does this guy have that he's able to go forward in this way? But Ann Gellenbeck is somebody who...
I understand that both your homes are both waterfront real estate, and everybody assumes that there's some money that goes with that, and with money comes a certain amount of power or juice, as you called it, Kelly. But is it a factor that this happened on school property? Was that part of this issue?
Well, that was a misdemeanor, not even a gross misdemeanor, and we had certainly an issue with the Thurston County. Our investigator went to check that out and was told by someone in the property office, sorry, I don't have the name, exact name of the office, that this area where Ms. Gallenbeck was not actually school property. It was behind the gate that had the signs on it that said, no guns here, no drugs, everything. And Ms. Gallenbeck, whose son had attended that school, knew the school very well, and she knew not to go past that gate. That's why she had a lockbox ready to put her gun away. So she's recently taken more classes even.
There hasn't been a determination of guilt yet. It's just arraignment coming up. Is that right?
No, we have had a trial. She has been convicted.
Oh.
And we are looking at the sentencing situation now. And it is very disturbing that a VA nurse who's worked through COVID, who's spent her whole life caring for people because of this gun enhancement law, is looking at a mandatory 3-year prison sentence. If she's not, we have a motion for a new trial because all of this information did not come out between Ms. Gallenbeck and her neighbor, and the judge did not allow the jury to hear anything about this. It was referred to as a property dispute.
You guys
dispute.
Have to explain to me. Is there something that I should know about that I don't know? Because from what's been described, no shots were fired. There is a he said, she said, literally, about whether the gun was even pulled out. I'm trying to figure out how you were found guilty. I mean, is there something I need to know about this that led to the guilty charge or the guilty decision, I should say?
You know, it is shocking that this was the decision that the jury made. The story that was told by this individual on the stand, he described that he was 150 feet away and that Ms. Gallenbeck was the one yelling things at him. And he just wanted to de-escalate, and he'd had training to de-escalate. So instead of walking away on this huge school property, he walked right back to the very small area where the cars were parked and came right near her. That was his testimony.
I need to accelerate a little bit here because we're almost out of time. But, you know, and the thing that comes to my mind is, you know, you told me that you have a pretty good life. You live on the water down there in Thurston County. You've been a nurse your whole life. No criminal charges against you your entire life, and now you are facing 3 years of sitting in a prison cell. I can imagine few things that would be a bigger nightmare for somebody. I can't even imagine what you're going through with all of this.
It's unbelievable. It's never in my life did I ever think I'd be facing such a situation. It's a true nightmare. Especially as someone who has tried to follow the rules her whole life, who did all the things she was supposed to do, who took an extra class because it'd been a while since she'd had a gun safety class, had recently taken something, who told the police when she called 911 about this incident, I have a weapon, I was told in my class to let the police know so that there was no issue.
Sure. I also imagine if you've been feuding with this guy for years and years that he must feel an enormous amount of smug satisfaction if the feud has escalated the way you've described and at the notion of you going to prison.
It seems like he definitely has, and speak to the issues that have come up since this and how you've been out of your home.
I've been out of my home. I haven't been allowed to be back in my home. I've been there since April 20th. He continues to call 911. He has called 911 saying that my husband tried to run his girlfriend over. The police came out to the house. This gentleman has cameras on our property. The police came out and looked at the videos that they were trying to claim my husband was running over the girlfriend, and the police said, well, it looks like the man pulled into his driveway. So he's called 911 again, trying to say that my brother is following his girlfriend, and that my brother drove a silver pickup truck, and the silver pickup truck was parked in my driveway.
Okay, I got you. So in the 30 seconds we have left here, what is next? You're appealing this conviction, I assume. Is that right?
Well, we're trying to get a new trial. So we filed a motion within 10 days of the conviction to get a new trial for some things that went on during the trial. So tomorrow we have a motion to see about getting a new trial. Sentencing is now the first week of August.
But if you don't get the new trial, it's a mandatory minimum of 3 years in prison. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, look, I'm gonna look into this more because something's not adding up from what you've described and a jury coming back with a guilty verdict. So I need to reconcile that. But I certainly hope that both of you will stay in touch with me and keep me posted as this thing continues down the pathway here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Doreen.